Hallelujah. Real quick, got a few announcements. There is no Bible study this Friday. It will resume next Friday, 8:40. Compassion Cafe will be open from 9:30 to 10:15 in the conference center. A delicious hot breakfast, coffee, milk, and juice for a free will donation. And also, the annual baptism and church picnic will be on August 13th following the service. We will caravan to the Osborne camp again this year. If you know where it's at, you really don't have to caravan, okay? It's the old KOA by 71. Please see the food sign up and head count sheets on the information table by Sunday 8-6 to help us prepare. Also, there's baptism information on there if you'd like to be. Please put that on there and let us know. And you, yeah, there is. I know stuff you don't. For once, I'm ahead of the game. I'm not behind that eight ball. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your glory, your splendor, and that we get to revel in it. Lord, we thank you for your presence. If you don't show up, then this is kind of boring. It is boring. So we thank you for your presence. And Lord, we present to you now our tithe and our offering. Lord, receive it unto you as holy, as precious. Father, we give it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those super kids are dismissed at this time. And they're off. And here comes Maverick around the front. Oh, praise God. Well, we did have a great time last week. You know, we actually got to tune into the service. I was surprised we probably only had, half a dozen times the internet gave out, just because when you're so far north, it has a tendency to do that. And we can vouch for the fact if you go into the UP, you have no service. Your phone is dead. It doesn't know where you are. It can't find you. And so you just better hope to God you remember where all the roads were taking you back. Because at that point, you ain't but about... No, I didn't. You can take pictures. You can't send them. You can't... The phone can't say, here's how you get out of where you're at. Oh, praise God. But I tell you what, it was good to get out and just let our hair down. I haven't had a haircut in a week. But, you know, we tuned into the service last week, so yes. And just to make up for the scriptures Joe didn't put up there, I've got a few extras today. No, praise God. But I tell you what, it was so awesome to be a part of that, even driving down the road, you know, just... It was beautiful. I mean, 23, for those of you who don't know, goes up to Saginaw City, cuts a hard right, and follows Lake Huron all the way around, back up to Mackinac City. It's a long drive, not going to lie, but it's beautiful. You get to see all the bays and the lighthouses, and there's points you are just like right on the water. So it's just a beautiful trip, and it's beautiful water. It's not Lake Erie water, for those of you who ever wonder. Huron and Michigan have Caribbean blue water. It's gorgeous, and it's cold. I only stepped out to about my ankle and said, enough is enough. Don't need this. There was one morning we were out there watching the sunrise, and I saw this guy going out. I'm like, what on earth are you doing? I mean, I'd already been given heads up there may be a polar bear club in the area because that's how cold the water was. This guy walks out there, he's watching the sunrise in the water, and then three of his buddies show up, and they all watched, hovered down into water that deep so they didn't freeze to death. And we just watched the sun rise up over the bay there. Just beautiful time, and, you know, just good to be out. Now, I got to commend you ladies this morning for that shout. I really do. Jason made sure all the mics were off up here, so that there wasn't no cheating going on. But I just got to tell you, I leaned over, you know, after the guys. You know, men have voices that really can resonate, especially in a facility like this. And women's, when they do it, they don't quite resonate the sound, but it takes a lot of volume to get where you were at. And I will just tell this story before I jump into the message. At my graduation from Paris Island, we had the distinction of having a battalion of female Marines with us. We only saw them, and we never interacted with them, unlike today, which I guess it has its merits. But there were about 450 male Marines who were graduating with them. So there's 6 platoons of male Marines and 3 platoons of female Marines. And when you're dismissed by your drill instructor, you step back and you yell, "Aye, aye, sir." And it just echoes. Those deeper voices just kind of echo. And 450 male Marines doing that really echoed through the trees. And those about 120 female Marines did the same thing, stepped back, except it was a lot higher pitched and didn't resonate. And there was unfortunately some snickering that can be heard on my video in the crowd. Ladies, you held your own today. Congratulations. You did good. Well, you know, last couple years, I really haven't done much hunting, so there hasn't been any messages from the tree stand, really, per se, except that I'm changing location of my tree stand. It's going behind my barn. There's a salt lick and a food plot going in, and that's as far as I'm going, and that's that. But this week, Monday or Tuesday, as it were, when we were leaving, you know, I've been waking up. And if you know me, I'm not an early bird, but I've been waking up before the crack of dawn. And I'm like, why am I awake, Lord? I'm not the early bird. She is. I'm the night owl. Well, we've been getting up and we were watching a sunrise. And so the other morning after the sun had risen, it was actually about 8, I believe 42, according to my notes right here. I was observing something. Now, the last place we stayed in Mackinac City was from here to the back wall from the beach. We had a balcony, so it was really nice. First night we got there, they floated out some fireworks about 100 yards off the beach and set them off, and we had front row seating, so we just sat there, boom, 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 drinking our coffee and wrapped up because it was kind of cool. And so we got to see a lot. Not a whole lot of people hanging out down below us there ever, because that area is always kind of shaded, so it's a cold lay on the beach. Everybody was going down where the buildings weren't blocking it. But that particular morning, I was watching the seagulls and the loons. There's a few loons out, but primarily seagulls. If you're anywhere, actually, if you can go to Mansfield and the seagulls are there, they'll come in that far. But we had just been seeing them, and every morning, right about 5:30, they would start waking you up. And this morning, I had my coffee, and I was just standing there just watching. I like to watch things. And I was watching this one seagull right below me. He's just sitting there on the sand watching. About that time, I saw another seagull flying through, and it looked like it had bread in its mouth, big old hunk of bread. Well, if you've ever watched Nemo or ever been around seagulls, you know exactly what took place. The seagull that was watching followed that bird with his eyes, saw he had food, and chased him. Took off after him, squawking. Now, if you've watched Finding Nemo, here's what he was saying. Mine, 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 right? One person gets something, they all think it's theirs. And in that flash, God gave me a revelation, and I had to sit down and write it. And that's when I also realized John may not have spent hours watching his revelation. He may have just gotten just there. They don't work sometimes. Just like that, he got the revelation that he wrote, and it is the last book in our Bible. 22 chapters. And he got it. And he sat down and he wrote this revelation down. And so I got a revelation the other day. I will honestly say it's not exactly favorable to us, because I was like, oh, Lord, but it is so true. And then this morning, we're sitting out on the thing having our coffee, and the blue jays have suddenly showed up out of nowhere. They're beautiful birds. They're destructive and noisy. They're so noisy. And we were just, I just shared something with Angela about them, and then she says, well, what kind of, was it the crow next? Oh, a hummingbird. What kind of Christian is a hummingbird? And I'm like, well, this is the type of personality this is. It's the one that can't stay anywhere. They got to keep thinking they got to find something better elsewhere. And that might be a whole message, or it might fit into today's, because here's the title. How did I write it here? There I wrote it, Christians and Seagulls. But here's what God gave me that morning. Christians are like seagulls. When one believer finds something good to them to nurture and restore them, others see it and chase them until they either give it up and flee for their lives. Or they have to fight to keep it because somebody else wants to take it. You get the revelation on being free. Somebody's always going to try to take it. I've had people tell me I should be wearing suits and ties. I should be wearing a gigantic cross to show that I'm a believer. Never mind that it's my walk with God, my love for people that should testify that I'm a believer. The Bible says they'll know us by our love, not by our three-piece suit. Okay? Or someone else takes away from them. The joy of salvation has to be attained by prayer and meditation, i.e. spending time with God on your own. Yes, this is another message about you spending time with God. I think it's been 3 weeks in a row for me, maybe four. God's trying to tell you something, folks. Because I was like, God, I really don't want to preach that message again. But he gave me a little different analogy, so there you have it. This may look different for many believers. Some may spend that time, I got to say this word right, prostrate before him. I have said it wrong several times. Others may sing, sit in silence, taking in the awesomeness of our Creator. It is communication between you and him, speaking verbally and non-verbally. You need to speak verbally as well. Oh, but I just speak from my heart. You don't hear it. You believe things you hear. Why do you think faith comes by hearing the word of God? Not just the good feeling you get. Oh, I know it's there. I got it. It's kind of like a coach trying to coach his team. They know what to do, but until the coach says it, they aren't going to do it. And then half the time, they're not going to do it. Think about God. He tells his children all the time what to do, and they don't do it. This is an everyday occurrence, not a once-a-week occurrence. Our corporate worship is about filling up our love tanks and helping others fill theirs. That's what Sundays are about. If you only talk to God once a week, you're not getting all that you can. If that's all you come to do, if you only pray and you only talk to God today, I challenge you, after you eat today, you don't eat anything the rest of the week until you come back. Tell me how hungry you are then. Because you should be getting filled up here. The presence of God is here today. I felt it. Oh, Pastor, I didn't feel anything. You need to start taking the things on faith. He said, whether two or three of you are gathered, there I am also. He's here. You don't always have to feel heebie-jeebies. Okay? Sometimes you just got to know that he's there. Besides, when we are here, we spend more time worrying about talking to each other or fuming about things that we have imagined to be true. What do they think? What did they say about me? They're talking about me. I know it. I know they are. I can see it. If we spend our time, with God every day, we should not be carrying set. Oh, wait a minute. I missed a part. It's not about unloading our baggage on others either. This isn't the time or place. You need to talk? I'm available. Sundays? Really not. Now, there are times and things have to come out that I need to know about. This morning, I had something I needed to know about it, and today was the right day. And I'm going to deal with it. Praise God. But if we have spent our time with God every day, we should not be carrying said baggage. You can't carry it. I can't carry it. Let me tell you a little spiritual thing that happens to me on vacation. 4 days in, I forget all of this. I forget I'm from Ohio. I'm just in the moment now. I'm living. And I actually had a really good time day one. Don't misunderstand me. But by day four, I can finally, I'm not pastor. I'm her husband. I'm Art. Tuesday morning, it came back. It's not a burden, but what I need to do came back. There are times you have to get away. That is what real vacations are about. Really, you need to understand what Sabbaths are about. Whatever took place this week, whatever garbage you had to deal with this week, let it be there. Don't bring it in here. And when you have to deal with it, you got to say, God, I have to let it go. Let me tell you a little something. We had a, was it day one? Day two, we got a message that somebody I knew who's 2 years older than me died suddenly. Now, this person I knew in high school, this person is also my brother-in-law's sister. 2 years older. We had no idea what went on. We just found out she had congestive heart failure and died, complicated by anorexia and COPD. She's 55. And, you know, I know my brother-in-law is devastated. It's just him and his mom now. And, you know, instantly it was trying to come, it's all about you. You got to take care of us. I can't do anything. There's nothing I prayed. And we prayed in the truck, because I think we were actually driving at that time. We were in Bronner's. I'm sorry. Yeah, we were in Bronner's, that gigantic Christmas store. And it's gigantic, let me tell you. 16 departments. I got a lot of exercise that day because I just let her go. But anyhow, so at that point, I said, I can't carry this. If I carry this, I'm never going to let the last year roll off. And so when I did that, I said, I can't carry this. God, it's yours. I prayed for the family because I know their mother. She's a dear woman. I know their family. They're part of my family. But I could not carry the burden. And see, God's also been trying to tell us all that. We can't carry everybody's burden. I can help you. I can pray for you. I can back you up. And bless God, if you want me in the fight, let me know. Because I don't play fair. I quit playing fair. It's about winning. It really is. First thing the Marine Corps taught me, to cheat. You cheat. Well, there's no honor in cheating. There's no honor in dying. Not for certain what that was. I heard it. I don't know if you did. But there's no honor in dying for something you shouldn't have died for. So, anyhow, let me get back to the, because I haven't even started with scriptures. Not bad. If we spend our time, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's because you are not going to the one who can lift your burden. Being honest with him. Honesty, by the way, just so you know, honesty isn't getting mean with people. I'm going to be honest with you. And you attack them. Somebody said, I got to be honest with you. And they attacked me. And the problem is, they're the narcissistic fool. They were the ones at fault the whole time. And I stood there and I'm like, what's being honest here? You're just being trying to find a non-worldly word for this. A what? Brat. We'll go that way. You are being a brat. You need spanked by God. Anyhow, and when you, and by meaning, and by being honest, I mean telling him how you feel. And when you complain about the situation, I put in parentheses, people, your situation never has anything to do with the real situation. It's about the people in the situation. Our problems are always with people. You can fix your car. You can fix your house. It's the people that get you, isn't it? My boss is such a jerk. Sometimes bosses have to be jerks. Sometimes the leader has to be a jerk for what you think is a jerk. My drill instructors were the biggest jerks I ever knew. But here's something I did learn. They had to be the biggest jerks. Why? Because they cared whether I lived or died. Oh, brother, you just go on, keep acting like that. You're okay. No! Sometimes somebody needs to tell you, hey, open your eyes, right? But that's not what we want. We like the guy that's going to sit there and stroke our ears. My kids don't like it, but there's times I have to tell them, listen, even I'll give them advice, sometimes unsolicited, but I try not to. But if somebody knows the bridge is out and you're flying down the road, it's always good to know that the bridge is out ahead of time, right? Understand that God doesn't change the people to meet your expectations. He changes us to meet his. God's not going to change them, so you can keep complaining about them, and until you change, they're never going to change because you're holding them in unforgiveness, and you are the one that's going to go worse. That one seagull spent time searching for food. The other just sat there begging for scraps from other sources, from people. When it saw a fellow gull had found food, instead of moving to the source of food, it chose to take it from the other. That is how we are when we think chasing revivals will bring us closer to God. Yeah, I said that. Now, I have experienced true change at revival. But I can tell you right now, for every person that went to a revival and got changed, there was 100 who went just for the feeling. Oh, this God has showed up in Lakeland, Florida, brother. You need to go. There's something special in Lakeland. So he's not the same God that I serve here? There's a special God in Lakeland, Florida that I need to spend money to go to? He's not the same God that I pray to every morning? He's not the same guy that talks to me audibly? He's not the same God who delivers me? You mean there's another God who's more special? Oh, brother, there's an outpouring down there. No, there's a bunch of fanatics. I've experienced the laughing, the genuine. Because I've told you before, I felt it was a joke. I grew up in this garbage. I was sick and tired of God and church, only to find out it wasn't ever God. It was religion masked as free reign, non-denominationalism. That's your own religion. Religion is religion. Atheists are religious. Religion is simply your way of believing. That's all it is. And I found out we were just as bound up by religion. But we were all running to a revival. Oh, the Holy Spirit's going to show up. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to show up because he said he would. With two of you showing up. Two people. You two could go to the service. God's there. He's there in your car. He's in our car. And there's sometimes he's slapping us both. But what happens? We go seeking something. Oh, that was such a good time in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Get back in the car. You stupid so-and-so. I thought you got changed. I thought you got delivered. By the way, the change, it takes time spending with God. Not a one-time, oh, he showed up. I was delivered from alcohol. 10 years took to get the taste of whiskey out of my mouth. Yep. That year, I started this church. It also took me 10 years to forgive the elders and the preachers from years gone by. And that was when I gave my life back to God. It didn't happen 10 years earlier. It had happened previous, minimum of 5. So when it's all said and done, you are responsible for your time with the Lord. As I've said before, my shop is my greatest place to go, and when I'm not in my shop, I can feel it. I have got to spend more time in my shop. Because God can speak to me. Why? Because my head's not wrapped around this problem, that problem. How am I going to deal with this? I go in there and God says, I'm going to work it out for you. I'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. He makes a way where there is no way. God does use revivals, but only those who are at the point of truly seeking him honestly get their breakthroughs. Rob shared a couple months back how he went and Rob and I grew up pretty much in the same kind of realm. Oh, brother so-and-so's in town. We got to go to this tent revival and sit on those ungodly hard chairs. Y'all know which ones I'm talking about, the flat wooden ones that always sink in the ground because they always put the revival tent in the low spot in the field. And then they thought, oh, well, we'll put straw in there to absorb the water. No, we just covered up the water and it soaked through the straw, and now we've got a bigger mess. How about we take the hill? Maybe we move the tent 50 feet that way. Oh, we can't do that. It won't look good on the property. We're all about looking good. We think God gives a rip about looking good. Oh, brother, don't you know we need that great big building with the glass front? Oh, sister, don't you know we do not? You cleaning the windows? Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. God has not called me to clean the windows. Hallelujah. Well, then shut up. Quit being that gall. Now let's get to the scripture. Yeah, you got out early last week. Sorry. I watched the whole service, most of it. All right. Luke 11. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus is, he does reference things. But the end of it is not about us seeking things. You want to be a millionaire? What are you going to spend it on? What would you have spent that $1.08 billion if you'd have won it? One person won it, by the way. $1.08 billion. You ever wrap your mind around how much money that really is? Did you figure out what you'd spend it on? What was your tithe? $100 million, by the way. And if you win it, I do expect it. We need to pave the parking lot. We got some kids that need to be delivered. If you didn't go see The Sound of Freedom, you had a free ticket. And it was worth it. We paid for it. We found it in the theater down there in Tawas City. We're like, it's playing in this little lakeside town. Wonderful movie. Wonderful movie. And is it any wonder that it's cleaning everything's clock? There are people out there, the silent majority are speaking. Seek and you will find. So if you're seeking God, you will find him. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Does it feel like God's just dealing out a bunch of crap to you? Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? Your day's just like, oh, Lord, where'd this crap come from? Why'd you give it to me? I know I saw, maybe you showed it to me. We were listening to something the other day. And the guy was talking about Job. Do you remember? Anyhow, maybe I just did. But he was talking about Job and how, it was the Objective Believer. And he was saying how non-denominational Christians and more modern Christians, we take the part where it says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and we say that is unscriptural. That was Job. Well, it was Job saying it. And we say, well, you know, he was wrong. Go down a few more verses, and it said, in all these things, Job was not wrong, nor did he call God out unjustly. God was the one that picked the fight. Did you forget that part? It was God. God has the ultimate authority. Sometimes we got to deal with some things. We don't know why, but we just got to go through it. And it usually is for our benefit. He's good to those who seek him. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Listen, you want to know when he can be found and when he is near? Are you still breathing? Because he never left you. He is always near. And if God feels so far away, guess who moved? Hosea 5:6. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. A little too late. If you're in the middle of a fight and you're just now seeking God on it, you're not going to find him until you truly humble yourself. I'm going to tell you right now, there's messages going around that are all about this seek stuff. Seek, 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 seek. They're about seeking things. I don't care to have $1 billion. I mean, if I do, I know what I'm spending it on. Like I said, right off the top, there's $100 million in tithe to this church. Oh, you can't handle it. You don't know that I can or can't. You don't know that. Well, you'll just abuse it. You know what? Keep your stinking money. You'll be like that guy that won the West Virginia lottery, said his church couldn't handle it, and made him go through the, I forget what the accountant's names are. They're crooked or dog's hind legs. Because all they do is threaten jail time to preachers. You need to go through it, and then I'm going to split with this church where I go and this other church that I kind of like. No, your tithe belongs in your storehouse where you're getting fed. Anyhow, I think it was 2 years later, showed up. He got robbed. He got rolled, going to his pickup truck. Carried, I think he had about $25,000 to $50,000 in cash in it. He got rolled by two hookers. He just picked up at the strip club. This is the man that said his church couldn't handle the money. His pastor wasn't faithful enough with it. And he got rolled. But it's not about seeking things. It's about seeking the face of God. If you only seek his hand, here's my hand. If that's all my kids ever come to see, Dad, we need. You're missing out on what I could give you, what I want to give you. That's the same thing with God. Don't wait till it's too late. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Blessed. You want to be blessed? Everybody says, I want to be blessed. I want the blessing of Abraham. I want blessed. I want blessed. I want blessed. Well, you now automatically get the blessing of Abraham because you have accepted Jesus Christ. You want all these things to come upon you? Do the will of God and seek him. Seek him. Whoops. Oh, no, that was right. Psalm 22:6. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Are you poor? I hope so, because that's who Jesus came to feed. It's who he came to bless. He came to heal the sick, to set free the captive. Most of the time we're captive to our own things, things we don't want to get rid of. I didn't want to let go of that unforgiveness. I felt empowered. I ain't going to lie to you. I felt the release of the hormones and just wanted to, the Hulk, you know. You do realize that's what fueled the Incredible Hulk, really, was his unforgiveness towards himself for not being able to save his wife, at least according to the TV version. I didn't follow the comics. Ezra 8:22. I actually want to drop down here to B. The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and wrath are against all those who forsake him. You got a choice. The Bible says it many times. I set before you this day blessing and cursing. life and death. And he even goes on to kind of gives us the cheat sheet. Choose life that you may live. But you know what? We say, but Jesus, I want this. I want that big house. Do you know what a big house means? You got to clean the big house. Yeah. And after your kids have all grown, you know, you had them doing chores. We're not too far away from having that unfortunate revelation completely. He ain't there to clean his own bathroom anymore. His own room. Somebody else is going to have to do it. Not it. Oh. Just kidding. Just kidding. I cleaned ours before we left, so at least a shower. We need God in our lives. We need to seek him. Seek him first in all things. Seek God in his ways of righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Let me tell you, I am going to just share this because it's actually rolling right into it. We weren't for sure where we were going on vacation. We kept putting it off. And she's like, I need a vacation. I need to get away. I need to go. And I said, all right, where do you want to go? And she said, Frankenmuth. I'm like, seriously? You want to go to the Christmas store? I said, you know my great love for the season, right?
But I really love the town.
I love that town. It's Bavarian. It's real. We have my uncle has a cabin in Georgia. The town went Bavarian. Okay, yeah. It's about 300 yards of Bavarian buildings on the outside. The hotels are all just normal hotels. Not up there. They're Bavarian. I got some pictures. Maybe we'll share them with you. You might see them on Facebook. But the Bavarian Inn, I have no idea how many rooms is in this thing, but they got 4 water parks inside it. And one pool is set up just for adults. No kids allowed. But there's a river. That morning, first morning we went out, I took my camera and she had hers. She'll probably get them on there before I do. This great big inn is reflecting in the smooth water of the river. It's a beautiful little town. And it's not real big. But it's a beautiful town. We enjoyed it. Great dinner. If you ever go there, Zender's, I highly recommend it. If you're at 75, stop at Tony's. You can get that 1 pound BLT, 1 pound of bacon, and a strawberry shortcake. Here, you saw the pictures. Oh, yeah. I think that's where the 4 pounds I'm still carrying are at. I have no idea how big their cheesecake was, but we didn't stop go back to get it. Next time, we're up that way. I hate to say it, because we actually love the state of Michigan. You get up there, it's beautiful. And it was no humidity. It was cool. And most of the people were friendly. Most of the people that weren't were from Ohio. No. No, Ohio's got friendly people. But what I wanted to say was we were just talking about how things were ordered of God. When you rejoice for the steps of the righteous man, they're ordered of God. When you move when God says to move, things will happen. I'll just tell you this one. We did go up to Mackinac City. We drove all the way up there. We held off and changed our date, and we got a room looking over the bay with a balcony and all this stuff for half the price it was 2 nights earlier. And then when I got there, the guy said, oh, I'm going to give you this tonight for the same price as tomorrow night, which was cheaper. So I'm just going to give them both to you for the cheaper price. So praise God on that. And they ended up moving us to the third floor, so there was no kids running around on the ceiling. They were up and down the hallway, though. But the day we went to Mackinac City, we got out there. It was a little cool. I ended up, thank God, the ferry was, it was about 300 yards away from the hotel. And so Gimpy here had to go running across the parking lots because I didn't listen to my wife and take my jacket. I'm standing out there like, okay, I'm not even on the water yet, and I'm going to be cold. I'm glad I ran back and got my jacket. And but anyhow, so we go, a beautiful time. Beautiful little town. If those of you want to know what it's like, it's kind of like Kelly's Island, just bigger. Okay, The world's largest covered porch is on that island, 660 feet long. That's the Grand Hotel. Beautiful hotel. Built in 93 days, by the way. Back in 1905. 93 days. And you know how it was built in 93 days? Well, because it was Vanderbilt's steamship and railroads. So Vanderbilt's and the steamship company. They opened it up. They already rented rooms to be released on such and such a date. The workers couldn't get there until such and such a date. And when they said, you have 90 some days to build it. And they said, oh no, we're not. Even though their pay was doubled, they said, no, it's impossible. And the guy said, well, that's great. That's fine. He said, except there's only one way here. And I own the ships and they're not going back. So you can either swim, which there are dangerous currents, or you can get to work. 93 days later, they finished the building so they could go home. But it's a beautiful hotel, beautiful things on there. It's worth the trip and stuff. But when we were there, we got done with our tour. This guy, you know, told the stories about all this. And we got done, and I said, well, I think it's time we head back. It was about 3 o'clock. And I said, we need probably head back. So we go wait for the next ferry. And all these people, I mean, there wasn't very many people in line when we got there. So we sat down. Like, oh, man, I have no idea which opening they're going to go to. All these people flocked to that far end, and they filled it up. I mean, they were just piled up on there. They're standing there, you know, kind of like my dog thinking I'm going in. I'm not going there, ding dong. I'm going over here. You think to. And they're standing there waiting. And the lady comes down the aisle from the other direction. We were probably 30 people in. We didn't have to wait to find a good seat. And so that was a God thing. But we get over there. Windy. This one moved so fast. I took my glasses off, took my hat off, and just like, I'll just wait because I ain't losing them. I need my glasses to see and my hat to cover the bald spot. And don't need it getting sunburned anymore, and it does. But 3:15 about, we got back to the thing. By 3:30, a major thunderstorm had rolled in. And we could see the hotel. We could see all the buildings from our room. We could not see beyond the dock. That's how hard it was raining. And there was two boats that had just, ferries had just left. And all those poor people stuck in the rain. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for ordering our steps that we got off that island before this torrential downpour. Because I just bought a new camera and I really don't want to ruin it with rain. And but it was a good time. But I just tell you that because you have to seek God on everything. God, where do I go? What do I do? Do I buy this car? Do I not buy this car? Do I buy this house? Do I not buy this house? Do I go here or do I go there? Seeking God is listening to him as well. Just like when God told me to cut down that tree, he told me to do it because I knew his voice, but I said, no, I want to cut that one down first because that's how I want him to lay in order. Don't know where it came from. I'd really never developed it, but I wanted them all laying like that in the field. And they wouldn't have laid like that. Well, that's the one that broke my back. Go figure. Listen to God. I could have avoided that whole nasty year. COVID would have still hit. Don't be a seagull. As I sat there this morning, we talked about a couple of other birds, crows. And I said, you know what? There's one bird I think God actually equates his people more like. The sparrow. If you've ever heard a beautiful song and you can't find the bird, it's a sparrow. They have a beautiful song. And their browns are so many different colors. They're beautiful, really, up close. With us, we look at, oh, that's nothing. They're not peacocks. Peacocks have one of the worst sounds. Sounds like a woman being killed. There was one down here on 95 one time back in the day when you were riding the back of pickup trucks, and me and my siblings were on the back of the truck. We came around the stop sign, and that peacock let off this horrible scream. Dad threw that truck up into park. Or it wasn't even park because it was a stick. Threw it up, shut it off, come back here. All right, who's getting a spanking? What? Who's screaming about that time? Rawr! Oh. So you also need to be careful. And she's like, I want a peacock. I want a peacock. No, I won't do that to my neighbors and I won't do it to myself. If you want feathers, go up to Kingwood Center and steal one. If you want one that bad. Or go to Hobby Lobby and just buy one. I mean, they're just big pheasants, so they taste good. Just saying. That's what they are. They're pheasants. Sorry. Pheasants are beautiful birds, too. But but I said it's the sparrow because the Bible says his eyes on the sparrow. The lilies. Consider the lilies. They don't do anything. But yet the lilies, you know, I've heard people talk about the tiger lilies. You know which ones they are? They're the orange ones that'll grow anywhere. Some flowers are so picky, they got to have special soil. It's got to be the right pH. But for a tiger lily, I've heard people call them ditch lilies because that's where they love. And they will. They'll take over in a hurry. They replicate in the harshest of conditions. And God said, consider the lilies. And they're gorgeous. But I don't like orange. So what? It's still a beautiful flower. But I said, I think the people that nearly need, that are really listening to God are the sparrows. I said, because every morning I can sit here on the porch. And I said, and a sparrow will come over and sit on the handrail post, or it'll sit on the edge of the porch, look at me. The other morning I heard a little pecking. I'm like, man, is there a woodpecker trying to peck through my steps? I mean, they're treated. There shouldn't be any bugs in it. And I kind of leaned forward. I could see something bouncing around. I look over, and here's this little sparrow picking up little sticks to make a new nest. And it was just pecking. And it jumped up, looked at me, hopped around, picked up a few more things. See, a sparrow will trust you if you're not trying to hurt it. Blue jays, I think they already know I want to hurt them. Crows, oh, they know. They don't even land on the property anymore. Well, Pastor, I want to be an eagle. I want to fly. The Bible says rise up like an eagle. I want to be an eagle. I think there's some myths that have been created about eagles. First off, they'll eat roadkill just as much as the turkey buzzards will. Oh, but they're so majestic. They glide just like a turkey buzzard. Now, they're a lot bigger. They're beautiful, I'll give you that. Let me tell you what happens to an eagle with the right conditions. When an eagle turns away from what it's supposed to be doing, an eagle is supposed to hunt and even find dead animals and eat them. That's why the Bible says where the eagles are, it's where the bodies are. There's death. Go to Alaska. Alaska's never had a shortage of eagles. I've watched countless videos of fishermen coming in and eagles, 50, 60 eagles sitting around like seagulls waiting for the fish to be gutted, waiting for scraps instead of soaring and eating the whole salmon themselves. They'll settle for scraps. The sparrow, she'll go to the feeder, yeah. But she'll also go pick up what she wants because around my house, they don't always get fed regularly. But you see, we want the glory. We want the majesty of being an eagle. Well, a sparrow never eats roadkill. Just saying. It never eats rotten food. It only eats the seeds and things that it finds. And only one time, arise, eagle saints. Now, there's some things about eagles I'm going to find out if they're true, and then I'll share them with you. I think they're false, but I don't know for sure. I need to get hold of the right information. Because, you know, I've been taught lots of things about eagles in the past and found out, yeah, they were made up by religious people trying to use a metaphor. I always heard eagles never eat dead animals. Yeah. I'm in Morrow County, man. As a matter of fact, I know a couple who actually, if they find a dead animal on their property, they might take it to them. and he'll eat it. Don't be that kid. All right, that's staying. All right, I may not have beat Joe a few minutes ago. I could have. But I had a whole week, actually 2 weeks, of not preaching. So, you know, you got out here early for that. But listen, I don't care what, seek God. If you need to start today, you know, a great place to seeking, taking a walk. I've only got 2.5 acres, but I like walking the edge of my property, looking out across the field, maybe seeing an eagle, watching the animals, and talking to God, thanking him for everything he's done for me. If you don't go to God with a heart, I will enter his courts with thanksgiving. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Let me get scripture right. Enter. With a grateful heart. I'm not a singer. Trust me on that. But I will just talk to God. Just like he's my friend. And that's why he talks to me. And he talks to me the way I talk to him. Not coded. I had so many people, well, what do you think this means? Well, I don't know. He told me flat up. He said, this is this. I have to like to think that maybe I'm a little like Moses, in which he says, I talk to my prophets in dreams and visions and stuff. I just talk to Moses face to face. Because Moses dared to talk to him like that. If you can't bring yourself to that, then he'll talk to you how you need to be talked to. But understand, you need to talk to God. You need to do it. I can't talk to him for you. He tells me things for you. So here I am telling you, he wants to talk to you. Talk to him. All right? Let's pray. Oh, our precious Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, that we can talk to you. That we can come before you any time of the day. Lord, that you're always there. No matter what we're doing, you will give us wisdom in the situation we're dealing with. You'll show us things about our own lives that we need to change. You'll help us through all that, Father. And when we do need to change, you will help us make those changes. Father, help us all. Lord God, I know it's not a habit because religion doesn't teach us to seek him. But your word tells us time and time. This wasn't all of the scriptures that tell us to seek him, to seek you. Father, may we all seek you. May we seek you more. Father, when we get up every morning, be mindful that you're there. And now, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I know they're going through some valleys of the shadow of death, but remind them, Lord God, that where there's a shadow, there is a light. Father, bless your people. Move mightily on their behalf, Father, as they step out and they obey you. They do what you are leading. Lord God, may they find you. May they experience your presence in that situation. In Jesus' name, amen.